All right, this is the Self-Defined Human Podcast. I may change the name of this podcast because what I'm doing is, this is the first episode that I've done since, it's been a while. This is currently, we're in August of 2022. Back in April, I decided I was gonna focus on piano, okay? This is when I started my Instagram account, when I started this online business, this project of mine, that was what I was doing, is piano, okay? But then it kind of branched out in some other directions. And if you listen to, I don't know what episode this is, it's 40-something, 42, 43. If you listen to the other episodes, the previous ones, they're on a number of different topics, and this is going to kind of come out of nowhere. Although I think the last one might have been the one I did about piano scales. I don't know. I'm driving right now. I can't remember. It's been months. But here we are. I'm talking to piano beginners, people who don't play the piano or who only play the piano a little bit. And we're going to talk about ADHD. We're going to talk about why it is that piano lessons don't work if you have ADHD. Now, when I say they don't work, I'm not here to try to convince you of anything. I'm not here to convince anybody else of anything. I'm not trying to make a statement. I'm not trying to wave a flag of any kind. What I'm doing is I'm trying to give you some helpful tips. Now, I say that with a little bit of sarcasm in my voice, because if you know me, then you know that you know how traumatized I have been by the haters online. I'm not accustomed to this kind of thing. I'm not accustomed to being the target of this kind of abuse. I'm accustomed to just kind of sitting in my room alone and just doing my own thing. So when I started publishing stuff online, on Instagram, on Facebook, on YouTube, TikTok, I had no idea what I was getting myself into. I've been kicked out of 8 piano groups on Facebook since the beginning of the pandemic. That's crazy. It's just craziness. But I'm different, and I understand. I do totally understand. Hold on. I do totally understand that not everybody understands me. I get that, of course. But, you know, I grew up thinking that there was something wrong with me. And I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with me. There's a lot wrong with me. But there's a lot wrong with the rest of the world too. This is the society that we all grew up in. We all grew up in this screwed up society that is the result of certain decisions that were made probably 10,000 years ago. Back in the day when human beings decided for the very first time that they were going to settle down, they were going to stop wandering through the woods eating berries and squirrels, and they decided that they were going to start growing food. And it switched from this hunter-gatherer kind of society to this farming society. And that required, you understand that we have millions of years of evolution behind us. And so this shift, there's no other animals, I mean, I don't want to say there's no other animals who do farming, because I think that might not be true. But certainly, you don't find chimpanzees growing food. Okay, they're not tending the fields. They're not harvesting grain. They don't do that. They're not baking bread in ovens that they have built in their dwelling structures that are permanent. That they would just sit there, and we stay there for years, generations. We have these cities. Okay, this is not our evolutionary basis. We don't come from that. We're not really equipped to deal with that genetically. We're not. It's a decision that was made. I don't know why. Maybe it must have been really hard to find food at some point. And so we said, well, we're just going to have to grow it. And everybody was like, but that's boring. You know, we like to walk around all day. That's what humans did for millions of years. But the people who were a little bit more concerned about caution. They said, no, you know, we're going to have to sacrifice. We're going to have to just kind of stay in one place for a little bit, because then we're not going to starve to death. I'm just guessing it was something like that. I don't know. That's a sort of dramatic reenacting of it. I don't know what the actual conversation was. So as a result of this, we ended up with this society that's just, we all stay in the same place. And we reward people who are good at staying in the same place. And people who are not good at staying in the same place are punished. And this isn't done intentionally. Nobody planned it that way. It's just how it happened. And it's just the environment that we find ourselves in. Okay, so if you have ADHD, which is attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, now this is a disorder. It's called disorder. It has this D at the end of the word. And that means the reason that they call it disorder is so that the insurance company can check the box that says, oh, this is an actual diagnosed illness. And then it will pay for treatment. Okay, so you say, well, there's a stigma because it's a disorder. And that's true, right? So people who have these disorders are going to end up growing up feeling like there's something wrong with them. And if you're diagnosed as a kid, and, you know, however it is, I mean, we call these things disorders, sure, but you got to separate that out, okay? Whether it's a disorder does not mean that there's anything wrong with it. It just means that it's purely pragmatic, okay? It's in your best interest. If you have ADHD, if you've been diagnosed with ADHD, it's in your best interest to call it a disorder, because then it legitimizes it as something that you might want to, you know, something that you're going to treat, or something that you're going to, you know, because if you're just like, well, the problem is that I just don't like to sit still. The problem is that I can't keep my mind in one place for very long. The problem is that I don't like to farm. Then it's like, well, okay, well, that sounds like a you problem. That's not really, you know, but if you say, well, it's a disorder, okay, now it's a disorder. You have a problem. It's a medical issue. Fine. Okay, let's not get too distracted by that. Let's not get too distracted to the point where we lose touch with the fact that this is a pragmatic diagnosis, okay? I want to be able to talk about it without anybody saying, but Michael, who are you to say it's a disorder? Who are you to say there's something wrong with me? Well, why not just say there's something wrong with you, okay? Like, whatever. The thing is that you are an organism. Now I say you know, I don't know you, okay? Is this you? There's an organism that is not, there's not a good match between the organism and the environment. Now, does that mean there's something wrong with you? No, it doesn't mean it's a matter of perspective, okay? So let's just like take all of that and put it behind us, put it to the side, and we're just gonna say, you're growing up in this environment that other people, let's say the majority of other people, don't have certain problems, and you do, okay? Now, you want to say, whose fault is that? You want to say, who's the one with the disorder? It's everybody, okay? The whole thing is disordered. So let's just say, look, you can't change anything. You can't change your genetics. You can't change the whole rest of the culture, okay? All you can do is just say, well, how can I adapt myself to the culture? So let's talk about piano lessons. Now, I started off by saying, if you have ADHD, piano lessons are not going to work for you. Okay, why is that? Well, look, piano lessons are designed, okay, first of all, piano lessons, as with everything, it's designed for a certain type of person, okay? It's designed for like the average person. The average person does not have ADHD. Okay, so right off the bat, we have a little issue there. But I think piano lessons are worse. Think about the kind of person who is teaching piano lessons, okay? Now, when I say piano lessons, let's think about the stereotype here of this little old lady who lives down the street, who's been teaching the same thing, the same boring scales and the same boring classical pieces for the past 50 years, she's been doing this. Okay, she's not a hunter-gatherer. She doesn't have any desire for novelty. She's totally comfortable doing the same thing over and over again. She wants students who are going to do the same thing over and over again, who are going to give her a predictable environment so that she can just teach her lessons, she can knit her quilt, she can just watch her stories at night, and then that's it. And then she can just, that's every day is going to be the same for her, because she's a creature of habit and she likes things to be predictable and she likes them to be the same, okay? She's not looking for excitement. She's not looking to be creative. She's not looking to rock the boat. She's not looking to come up with anything new. And she's fine with that. And her mind does that, okay? That's your typical piano teacher. And she assumes the same thing of her students, that they're gonna be the same. Now, I have to remind myself that when I'm talking about piano lessons, first of all, I'm probably, when you talk about piano lessons in the abstract like that, you're gonna be attracting piano teachers, okay? Because those are the people who are interested in talking about piano lessons. If you're a piano teacher listening to this, fine, fair enough, I'll let you listen, but I would appreciate it if in general you would keep your eyes on your own work. This isn't high school. I'm not looking to start conversations with piano teachers, okay? I think you guys are fucked up, and I think that I don't know, okay? Like, I'm not trying to change the piano teaching industry. I'm not doing that, okay? I don't want to go there. What I'm doing right now is, and also, I'm not talking about kids. Okay, because again, another thing, when you talk about piano lessons, piano teaching, piano students, we have in mind the average pupil of this little old lady down the street who is probably 8 or 9 years old. I'm not talking about those kids, okay? That's fine, fair enough. I'm not trying to ruin their fun. I'm not talking to their parents. I'm not talking to their teachers. I'm not talking to them. That's its own thing. I'm talking about adults, okay? Autonomous beings who have been diagnosed with ADHD, or who may have self-diagnosed themselves with ADHD, which I think is perfectly legitimate. I'm not a medical professional. What do you think? I don't have the authority to tell you who is what and what. And by the way, the medical professionals don't have. There's no test for ADHD. You understand that, okay? It's not like you can't get a blood test for this. You can't. There's no like you can't. Some people will say, well, you know, there's certain neurotransmitters you can test for. Okay, first of all, you can't test for neurotransmitters either, because those are like in your brain and you can't test, you know, even if you take a blood sample, you can't, that's not going to tell you what's going on inside your brain. So we don't know. Now, there's some certain types of like fMRI scans or something that maybe, okay, look, I don't know. I'm skeptical of all of this. I don't believe that there is like a certain type of person who is neurotypical and another person who is neurodivergent. I think those are fine as labels, okay? Because they give us something to talk about. But at the end of the day, it's like, the question is only is, are you suited for your environment? And if you're not suited for your environment, well, there's two solutions to this. One, you can change the environment. Two, you can change yourself. Or three, you can, I guess this is a third option, you could try to become more comfortable with your environment. Try just to become more comfortable with the lack of adaptivity. Fine. I don't look at any of these things as disorders. It's not like COVID, where there's a virus there, and some people have the virus and some people don't have the virus. It's not like that. It's a matter of interpretation, a matter of perspective. So, and this is true with like basically all of the psychiatric disorders, okay? Everything that you see in the DSM-5 is made up. It's just arbitrary. These are things that people invented mainly for the purpose of insurance, okay? So, because the insurance company needs to know what category, what label are we gonna put on you so that we know whether we're gonna pay for this or not. You know, you say, like, it just doesn't make sense to compare, you know, let's say there was some drug. I don't know what the current state of drugs for COVID is, but let's say there's some drug that cures COVID. I don't think there is, but let's say there is. And you say, well, there's ADHD medication also, like you can take Adderall or Vyvanse or Ritalin or whatever. And those are not the same thing, okay? So one of these is a drug that cures an illness, this hypothetical COVID drug, which I don't think exists. The other one is, it's not, now I'm not judging anybody who uses medication. I think if it works for you and if it helps you live your life better and helps you do what you're trying to do, and if the benefits outweigh the costs, then you should do it. It's just like any other strategy. It's a problem-solving tactic. So that's fine. But don't let's not get confused here, because this is not, it's not a disease. There's nothing wrong with you, okay? Now where was I coming from with that? Because I was talking about, I don't even remember. Okay, so if you are an adult who is wanting to play the piano, now I'm proposing, and again, this is not an attempt at changing anyone's mind. If you don't agree with me on this, if you're not already saying, yes, Michael, this is what we need to hear. We need more people saying this stuff. If that's not where you're coming from, okay, I don't know. I don't want to talk to you. If you are coming from that, then I want to go even a step further and I want to say, let's talk about how you can, how, like, certain strategies that will work for normal people and are not going to work for you. Okay? Certain things that we do, okay, that, like, okay. Number one, how to determine whether a piano teacher is right for you. Okay, so what a normal person can do is they can, first of all, a normal person has this benefit here that they're probably going to relate better. Like the teacher is probably going to already kind of be on the same wavelength as they are. Okay, now if you have ADHD, this is probably not true. Okay, most piano teachers are traditionalists. Most piano teachers they don't have ADHD. Now some of them do, sure, okay. But the average one, no. See, the average one is gonna expect you to behave in a certain way, in a very predictable way for them. And they're gonna expect you to follow directions, they're gonna expect you to understand things. But the thing is that when you have ADHD, you don't have these executive function skills. So as a result, you can't do anything on your own. Okay, and you have been brought up in this culture that says, well, you have to do everything on your own. You have to be responsible for your own success, for your own progress, for your own results. And if you make a mistake, well, it's your fault and you have to fix it and you have to make sure you don't make mistakes. And if you make them, you have to notice what happens and you have to correct it, make sure you don't do that again. That's the culture that we live in. If you have ADHD, probably, and unless you were fortunate enough to have parents and teachers who understood you and gave you exactly what you needed, okay, you probably have a great amount of trauma around this issue. You probably have grown up thinking that there is something wrong with you and that you're not capable of doing these things, which you're not, okay? Like, just to be clear about that. That's kind of the definition of ADHD. Like, you're not capable of doing these things, okay? Now, but you have been taught that you have this additional layer to this, which is that, and that's a bad thing, okay? And this is why we call it a disorder, because you're not adapted to your environment. You're not well suited to your environment. You're not, okay? You're not capable of doing your homework on time. You're not capable of, okay, so you have to know, okay, is this teacher that you are evaluating, you're trying to wonder, is this the right teacher for me? Is this teacher going to be somebody who is going to provide a nurturing environment, or is it somebody who is going to be just the same as all the other teachers I had in school? And again, if you had ADHD, those teachers probably were not the right ones for you. I'm just guessing. I don't know. Maybe it's different now, okay? I'm talking to adults who have recently been diagnosed with ADHD. Probably you didn't grow up with that. I don't know what it's like now. When I was a kid, I don't know. I think there's a lot of people who should have been diagnosed who weren't, okay? You, as I said, are not capable of doing this stuff on your own. What does that mean? It means that you have to be trained. You have to have a teacher who is going to actually put a lot more effort into making sure you do your homework, because they can't rely on you to do it. They can't rely on you to, well, I assigned it, because teachers love to do that. They love to say, well, I assigned it. I gave you this assignment and you're not doing it. Therefore, it's your fault. Therefore, I'm justified in giving you a bad grade. Okay, now look, I watch these videos about Marine boot camp. I'm fascinated with this, because the thing with when you go to the Marines, now I've never been in the military, I don't know anything about that other than what I've seen on YouTube. And what I've seen is that the drill instructors at the Marine boot camp, they take 100% responsibility for the success of the recruits, okay? And when they are yelling, when they are throwing insults, there's a method to it, okay? There's a purpose for all of this, and it is training. They care about what the recruits are doing. So you need a piano teacher who's doing that. You need a piano teacher who's gonna make sure. So you gotta ask the teacher, okay? If you're evaluating this person, you say, so what happens if I don't practice? Like, what are you gonna do? Now, a bad teacher for you would say, well, that's okay. You don't need to practice. You know, you practice as much as you have time for. It's okay. You know, I understand. You know, you're a busy adult. Okay, so that's a bad teacher. You don't want a teacher like that, because you have ADHD. You're not capable of regulating your own practice schedule. So you need a teacher who says, no, that's not going to happen. If you don't practice, you're going to fail. I'm going to make sure of it. I'm going to make sure that you practice. Like, I'm going to do my best. And if that's not okay with you, then hit the road. That's the kind of teacher you need. You need a teacher who's going to have standards, because you can't set your own standards. You got to understand this. You don't have the ability to do that. So you need someone who can train you like a rat. Okay. You need to be trained. You don't want someone who's going to put responsibility on you. You need someone who can set boundaries. Because if you don't have somebody setting boundaries, like, who's going to set the boundaries? You're not going to do it because you have ADHD. It's not going to happen. So you need someone who has principles and who's going to stick to them and who's going to say, this is the method. This is how I do it. It's like you go to the doctor and for the COVID cure drug and they say, here's the drug, you have to take it. And you say, well, you know, I'm kind of busy. I've been busy all week and you know, I don't know if I can take it this week. And they say, oh, no, that's fine. I understand. You know, you do what you do. You do what you can do. I get it. You know, life is tough. You know, just as long as you're having fun, that's all. And see, that is a bad doctor, okay? The doctor should say, well, you have to take the drug or you're going to die. Like, that's how it works. Now, you don't have to take the drug. I understand that. Maybe you don't like it. But then you have to be okay with the fact that you're going to die. Like, and that's not, you know, as your doctor, like, I'm not a fan of that, but, I got to make it clear to you that that's what's going to happen, because that's the law of cause and effect that I understand as a medical professional I understand that this is the effect I'm trying to have on my patients. I want them to survive when they have an illness. So that's why I give this particular prescription. Okay. I'm not letting you choose the prescription. I'm not letting you choose the diagnosis. I'm not letting you choose any of that, because all I want from you is just to tell me what the symptoms are. And then I, as the professional, will decide the course of treatment. That's what you want from a piano teacher. You want somebody who will take charge, because you can't do this on your own. And if you can, by all means, do it. But if you're looking for somebody to help you, you got to look for somebody who's going to be a little bit more directive than possibly what you're comfortable with, because you grew up in this environment where you were harassed by your teachers for not being normal. These are teachers who, they're not directive. They don't have a clue what to do with you. So, and they love it. They love it when they have students who misbehave, because it makes them feel superior. They can say, hey, the student's failing, but at least I tried. At least I did everything right. that's not, it's like in this mini series Chernobyl from 2019. There's a scene where they're downstairs. They're turning the, I don't know, the water pump. They're trying to turn this water pump on, but the thing is totally destroyed. Okay. So there's no water that's going to go anywhere. So this is totally useless what they're doing. And they're just exposing themselves to the massive fatal dose of radiation. But they say, at least we did everything right. Because they're in Soviet, well, it's not Soviet Russia, it's the Soviet Union. So that's the mentality. The mentality is you don't want to be caught doing something wrong. It's not, they don't care about results. They don't care whether the actions that they're doing are effective or not. They don't care about that. All they care about is how they are perceived by others. They just want to know, socially, in this hierarchy, am I going to be blamed for what goes wrong? Now, obviously, it's a huge disaster. The nuclear power plant reactor blew up and is spewing this toxic nuclear fuel all across Europe. That's not good. It's obviously a problem. So the question on their mind, because this is their culture, the question on their mind is not how do we fix this? The question is, who's going to be blamed for this? Whose fault is this? How do we avoid being blamed for this? Okay? This is all societies, all cultures have this force in them, okay? And that's what your teachers are concerned with. It is going contrary to what you're trying to do as somebody who's trying to learn, okay? Because you want to actually get some skill. You want to develop some superpowers. And the only way to do that is to be in an environment that trains you, okay? It's to be in an environment that is fixated on results, that gives you a reward when you do the right thing, and it punishes you when you do the wrong thing. That's how you develop superpowers. There's no other way. You don't do it just by sitting around saying, oh, well, one of these days I'm going to really try, I'm going to get my act together and I'm going to really practice. I'm going to really try really hard. I'm just going to just finally, once and for all, I'm just going to just really apply myself. See, that doesn't produce results. What produces results is when you get a cookie when you do the right thing and you get an electrical shock when you do the wrong thing. Okay, that is how you learn to do the right thing. Because you want it to be second nature. You don't want to be, it's like you can't leave it up to your, to just this, oh, well, yeah, this little gremlin that's inside your head that's trying to plan things out and trying to make sure that you stay on task. See, if you have ADHD, that little gremlin is just like out to lunch, okay? You can't rely on it for anything. The average person who does not have ADHD can't rely on it for as much as they think they can either. But you don't want that. Like you can't, you understand, like playing the piano, it's like your body has to be rewired so that it just like, you just press the buttons and it just does it. It can't be like, it's not like, you don't have time to sit around and philosophize about it and think like, that's not like, by the time you come up with a conclusion as to what your next action is, like you realize like the song is over, okay? Like the people that you're playing with, like you're playing in a band or something, and they're going to be like, what is wrong with this guy? Like he's totally not here, because you're sitting there philosophizing and being like, no, I'm going to apply myself soon. Like that's not, no. You have to play the piano. And the only way to do that is like, it's got to be just like your body has to know it. It's got to be like a reflex. So that requires like a primal level of training. Okay. This is the kind of stuff that's going to apply up. I hope it's not that this is going to appeal to piano teachers. This is not for them. Ugh. I worry about this. It's going to happen. I better hear from some of you adults with ADHD who want to play the piano. And if I don't, then I don't know what I'm going to do. But I hope I get punished if this isn't right. I hope I just get this onslaught of piano teachers trying to either congratulate me or trying to argue with me. Because then I'll realize, Michael, this is the wrong way to do it. And I'm not going to have to think about that. Like, that's not going to be, I have to make a decision or anything. It's just going to be automatic. It's just going to be my nervous system is going to just respond to it. I'm going to see the results of my actions in real time. Okay, let's talk about a few other scenarios, a few other situations in which you're going to want, as somebody with ADHD, you're going to want to do things a little bit differently than what is normally recommended or what seems to come naturally to other people. Okay, so here's another one. If you are going to buy a piano or a keyboard, how do you make that decision? Okay, so what the normal person can do is they can go on Google and they can type best keyboard for under $500. And they can read an article about it, and you know, they'll be like, oh, okay, I trust this person, they seem to know what they're talking about, and they can just make a decision and do it. Okay, if you have ADHD, that's not gonna happen. Every time that you go on Google and search for something, what you're doing is you're multiplying the number of possibilities exponentially, okay? There's this explosion that happens where you're gonna be thinking about like all the possibilities, all the ways in which maybe this keyboard, maybe I need this feature, maybe I need that feature, because the manufacturers of these things are gonna be, in order to sell the product, they're gonna be touting the features of these things. They're gonna say, this one has 600 voices, this one has 5 million different rhythms, this one has, you know, this one has like this many keys, and this one has this many keys, and this one has like pedal effects, and it has, you know, you got like a multi-track recorder, and this one has 2 tracks, and this one has 4 tracks, and this one has, you can adjust the reverb, and you can, like, they're gonna have all these features, and you're gonna be wondering, like, do I need this? Maybe I need that. And because look, each and every one of these features is added for a reason, so it's not like they're just adding things that don't do anything. I mean, hopefully not, okay? If you knew that these things didn't do anything, then of course it wouldn't make a difference. But look, they're there for a reason. Somebody thought it was a good idea. So you might be wondering, is this a good idea for me? And your mind is gonna be concocting all these elaborate stories. Now, what you don't maybe realize, because the thing is that the way your mind works, is it's kind of like looking for danger. You know, you're not really looking, We don't walk around all day looking for like ways of making things better, really. We look for ways of avoiding danger. So you're going to be thinking, every time a new possibility arises, you're going to be thinking, what happens if I don't do that? Am I exposing myself to danger if I don't go with the 600 voices, and if I only go with the 500 voices? And your mind, because minds are creative, and if you have ADHD, it's even more creative, you're going to come up with a very plausible scenario for why it is that life is gonna suck if you are missing out on those 100 voices, especially if they, I mean, 100, that's a lot, right? Especially if you can see a list of them, and then you're like, well, what if I don't have that, like, particular brand of church organ sound, if I don't have the electric piano number 57, if I don't have that particular sound, what's going to happen? Well, yeah, okay, things might be bad. They could get ugly. You know, somebody went through the trouble of making those sounds, so, okay. This is not this normal approach of just like, well, we're just gonna go and look, see what's on the menu and pick the best option. That's not gonna work if you have ADHD. What you're gonna have to do, and this is painful, but you're gonna have to do this. You're gonna have to just make a decision and learn to live with the consequences. Now, it is true that you're gonna suffer, okay? You're gonna be wondering if you made the right choice. But what you need to do is you need to say, okay, wrong choice, yes. I can be okay with that. Like, I can be okay regretting my choice, okay? Because you're gonna regret it. Because if you can see all the possibilities, yeah, you're gonna wonder, maybe life would be better if I had made a different choice. That has to be okay with you, okay? Trust me, it's gonna be easier once you've made the decision. Because then you're gonna, what you don't realize on this side of the decision is that life is going to be different once you actually have the keyboard in front of you. Because then you're going to start taking it for granted. And that's a good thing, because right now you just have this empty hole where you're wondering what you're going to put into that hole. But once you get something, then it's going to fill up the hole. And then you're not going to be wondering as much. Because then you're going to be onto a new set of problems. So make the decision, even if it's the wrong one. You got to do that. You're never going to be happy with your decisions if you have ADHD because you see too many possibilities. Okay, another topic. Another topic is this. Okay, how do you decide, well, I want to learn a new song. Well, what do I do? You know, because it's going to take more than 5 minutes to learn a song. So you're wondering, like, well, if it's going to take 2 weeks, if it's going to take 6 months to do this, what do I do? Like, I want to make sure that I make a good decision, because if I'm going to commit to this, you know, you want to learn something and you're like, well, this looks too hard. I don't know, you know, I don't want to just sink time into it and then not, you know, and have nothing to show for it. Okay, see, that you got to learn, like, listen, that's what a normal person can do. They can go through that kind of thought process because they can, again, just make a decision based on the pros and cons. Just like, well, how much time do I have? How much time do I want to invest? And they make a decision and it works out. You know, you can't do that because you can't estimate time. You lack that ability. So you don't know, like you're just sitting there just saying, well, this is going to take, you don't know how long it's going to take. You have no idea. You have no way of knowing that because you don't have a sense of time. So what you have to do instead is you have to just go with the flow. Okay. You got to understand that there will be times where you're going to, you know, you're going to be excited to learn something. And so you're going to spend 10 minutes on it and then you're going to get frustrated and you're going to want to quit. Okay. Now you have two options at this point. You can either quit or you can stick with it. Now, remember, if you have ADHD, you're not going to be able to stick with it. That's not going to happen. So don't even plan on that happening. What you could hypothetically do is you could have somebody else force you to stick with it. Okay, that's not a bad idea. So if you have a teacher, if you have a coach, if you have somebody who can actually make sure you do it, then you're going to have the ability to kind of make commitments. But if you don't have the ability to do that, if you don't have somebody else who's looking out for you, then you have to learn to go with the flow. You know, it's not a crime to just spend 5 minutes on a song and learn part of it. And you're like, okay, I'm done. On to something else. See, but where did you learn somewhere that that's a bad thing? Because you were taught by farmers rather than hunter-gatherers. So you were taught that you got to sit with something and nurture it for long periods of time. You have to wait 6 months so that you can reap your harvest. Okay. Yeah. Ain't nobody got time for that. Like, maybe there's, was that a berry over there on the ground? Okay. We'll invest the 15 seconds necessary to walk over and see. Okay. It's not a berry or it doesn't look as good as I thought it did. Okay. Scratch that plan. Go do something else. Okay. So that's how you learn new things. Let's see, writing music. You have all these ideas in your head. How do you get them out of your head? Okay, what a normal person can do is they can say, I have this idea for a song. It goes like this. Let me sit down. Let me nurture this. Let me sit down and write it out. Okay, let me, you know, I'll just write the words. I'll write the music. I kind of know how I want it to go. And they do it. And they spend time on it. And they're very methodical and diligent. And they create this thing. And it comes to fruition over time. And it gets better and better as they work on it. And then eventually they say, now it's done. Now it can go out into the world. And they put it out there. And it's this thing that has been created, fully formed. Okay, see, that's not going to work for you. You can't do it that way. Because when you have an idea for something, it's not really an idea. It's like a proto idea. It's just a little piece of an idea. So you don't even know what that is going to turn into. You don't see it fully. You might kind of think you see it fully, but don't get confused. That's just your excitement about it. Do you know that you see it fully or are you just optimistic? You're probably just optimistic. So if you have ADHD, you have to get used to creating things without knowing where they're going to go. You have to get used to putting things, just like trying it, just like sit down, make something. And if you like it, great. If you don't, then scrap it and try again. Okay. There's no cost to that. Like you may think, well, but I'm putting all this time into something that doesn't. Yeah. But it doesn't matter because you're still like, in order to get good at creating, you have to create a lot. You have to, because you have to get to know your own creative process, okay? I don't want to get philosophical with this. What I want you to do is you got to think about those memes, those cartoons, those things that where, you know, you see this writer who's sitting there on the typewriter and they've got the in their office and on the floor is just like piles and piles of crumpled up paper because they just kept coming up with these drafts and they hated them and they crumpled them up and tried again. That's what you have to do. That's the way that you have to work. Okay. You have to be completely anti-perfectionistic about it because the stuff that you create is going to be crap. It's not going to be good ever. Especially as you get better at this, like you're going to have higher standards. So lower your standards, like raise your standards about quality, but lower your standards about what quality is acceptable. It's paradoxical. Figure it out. I've got a couple other topics here. Well, I kind of already touched on this one. You know, the idea of getting excited about something and then losing interest. You know what's going to happen, okay? You've been through this. You've been through this with so many things. Now, what a normal person can do is they can say, I'm going to learn to play the piano. I'm going to sign up for 10 years of lessons. And they do that. And they, you know, they commit to this. And they, 10 years later, they graduate just like they've just been born again. And they are a complete package. Okay, yeah. That's not going to work for you because you're going to try something and you don't even know 10 days from now if you're going to still be doing it. There's reasons for this, okay? This happens with everybody. It's not just an ADHD thing. I mean, how many people have, you know, said like, well, yeah, I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to, you know, go on a diet. And then, you know, 10 days later, what happened? Where's the diet? Who knows? That's your life, okay? The only way you can deal with that, okay, because you can't fix that on your own. That's the way your mind works, because you're impulsive, okay? So you sign up for this because you're excited to do it. And then you quit because you're frustrated and you're distracted by another shiny object. See, that's the way it's supposed to work. That's how impulses work, okay? You can't force yourself to go past that, but you shouldn't anyway. The way to deal with this is that, yeah, you got to have somebody else force you. You know, don't sign up for 10 days. I mean, you can, listen, do it. Sign up for 10 days, sure. But understand you're going to get 10 days out of it. Don't sign up for 10 days thinking you're going to get 10 years. That's not going to happen. Now, I don't know why you want 10 years. That's a little suspicious to begin with. But what you should be doing is thinking about things in terms of like smaller pieces, but like packages, okay? It's like it's not like, well, I'm just going to take this one day at a time. Like, no, take it 10 weeks at a time. Okay. And sign up for something that forces you to do it. You know, if you do a meditation retreat, like let's say you do a 10-day meditation retreat. Okay. There's all these people, especially with ADHD, who are saying, I can't meditate. I can't do it for 5 minutes. Yeah. Okay. But do a retreat. Okay. Do a 10-day retreat. What's going to happen? They're going to force you to meditate for 10 days. It doesn't matter that you can't do it. It doesn't matter if you're frustrated, you're bored. Like, okay, well, we have your car keys, so you're not going anywhere. So what are you going to do? There's no TV. You're just going to have to sit there and figure it out. You say, but I'm not even meditating. I'm just sitting there. Yeah, exactly. That's meditation. Now, I don't know where you're going to find a piano retreat like this. That could be something that, if I were more of a farmer, I would create something like that. Because that's the best way to learn. The best way to learn is to put yourself in an environment that forces you to learn. So you got to just like go with the flow here. Like that's how your mind is going to work. You're going to get excited about stuff, then you're going to lose interest. Don't try to tamper with that. Just when you get excited and when you do stuff, like find some way that you can get held accountable for what you're doing. You know, sign up for something. If you sign up for piano lessons, whatever you do, do not sign up for a teacher who's going to let you pay one lesson at a time, one day at a time, one week at a time. That is not, unless it's like a really intensive week where you're doing this every day. But if it's just a typical piano lesson where it's like a half hour per week, and if they're going to let you pay per week, yeah, good luck with that. You're not going to stick with that. that's really a bad idea. Not for ADHD people. That's a horrible idea. Worst idea imaginable. Let me just quickly run through a couple of these because I have ice cream in my car and it's melting because it's really hot in here. And I don't want to record this when I'm not in the car. So let's see. Got that. Dealing with criticism. You know what? I'm going to go inside and address that.
Okay, where was I? We're talking about dealing with criticism. Like, as I was saying before, you grew up in a society that criticized you. And as a result, you developed trauma around this because you were not like the other kids. You were like the bad kids. Okay. Now, as an adult, you have this trauma. That means it's going to be a little bit hard for you to differentiate between, like, what different kinds of criticism. But even more significantly than that, you're not a kid anymore. The criticism that you receive is not going to traumatize you at this point because the trauma has already happened. For the most part. So at this point, the question that you have to ask yourself is, what do I do with this criticism? Because what a normal person can do is they can hear the criticism and say, oh, I think I did something wrong. Oh, let me try to fix it. And what they do is they try to fix it, and maybe they're successful at fixing it, and maybe they're not. But either way, the critic, let's say it's their piano teacher or whoever, the critic is going to say, oh, well, look, they're trying. At least they're trying, and they're going to get some credit for that. Now, you, as somebody with ADHD, are not going to get credit for trying because your version of trying is going to be incomprehensible to the critic. They're not going to know what you're doing because they don't understand why you can't do the thing in the first place. But however it works out, whatever you are doing and whatever you do instead and whatever you try to do is like, and however you might try to explain it, it's going to be foreign. They're not going to know what you're talking about. So to them, it's going to look like you're just not even trying. Okay, you got to understand that that's their problem, okay? You can't do anything about that. You can't make other people understand you. You can't fix, you're walking around with this attachment wound that's like, you're like, why doesn't anybody accept me? Why is it that I can't find the perfect mother or father figure out of all these strangers? Like, why can't any of them care about me? Like, yeah, right, because they're strangers. They don't care about you. So what are you going to do about it? You have to do something. So if you're trying to play the piano and, why did you open yourself up to criticism in the first place? You know, because if you signed up for something with a piano teacher and they're going to give you criticism, like, the question to ask is not, can I do what they're saying? Is it my fault that I'm not doing it right? Is it like, are they mad at me? Like, none of that. None of that's important. See, the only thing that's important is because you signed up for this because presumably you wanted to learn to play the piano. So that's the only thing that matters, okay? If they're going to criticize you, now, again, go on YouTube and watch what happens at Marine Boot Camp, okay? There's a lot of criticism that happens there. And they do it for a reason. They do it because they're trying to challenge the ego of the recruit. The ego that says, if my teacher is mad at me, that's a problem and it needs to be fixed. And that has to take priority over everything. No, see, in the military, they don't care about that. In the military, it's like, okay, there's bullets flying at us. Like, what are you gonna do? Like, you're gonna argue about who's right and who's wrong and who's mad and whose fault it is. No, see, what you're gonna do is you have to do whatever you need to do so that you don't get hit by the bullets, okay? That's what they're doing there. So that's why they yell so much, because they're punishing the recruits who make it personal, okay? They're making it impossible, because if you're going in there and you're gonna say, this is personal, this is about making sure that the drill instructor is happy with me, if that's how you're gonna approach it, then they want you to suffer. They do not want that to be rewarded. They want the mindset to be rewarded. The drill instructor is mad at me, everybody's mad at me, I'm doing everything wrong, and yet That's not important compared to the actual task that we're trying to do. That's how you need to look at it when you're learning piano, okay? Maybe you need therapy before you need piano lessons. I don't know. You have to figure this out somehow. It's not personal. You should not make it personal. You're the boss. You're the boss of your life. When you go to take piano lessons, anything that you sign up for, like you're an adult, you signed up for it willingly, voluntarily, you put yourself in this situation. It's like, you gotta say, like, am I gonna commit to this or not? Am I gonna take this seriously or not? Taking it seriously means that if you're trusting somebody to teach you, then you're gonna do what they say. And even if they're mad at you, it doesn't matter, because that's not part of it. You understand that people have their own trauma and they're gonna be mad, you know, for whatever reason. It's not important, because they're not your parents, okay? That's how you deal with it if you have ADHD. You have to get used to people being mad at you, because you're gonna be fucking up everything. That's how it is. That's what ADHD is, the definition of it. It means you can't do anything right, okay? What any set of rules that somebody gives you, you're gonna break them, because you can't follow rules. That's the definition of it. So you will always do things wrong. So what are you gonna do about that? You're gonna let that define you and mean, well, you can't even do anything? You know, make your own rules. Like, why are you following other people's rules? Next one, following advice. Okay, so what a normal person can do when let's say you're just on Instagram and you're just some piano post that you see, and it's like, you should do it this way. You should play this way. I don't know what they say. Play these chords, okay, what a normal person can do is they can say, oh, there's some advice, let me follow it, and they do it, and then it works or it doesn't work. Okay, you can't do that because you have ADHD, and so you don't hear just one piece of advice, okay? You know that every piece of advice you've ever heard, you also have in your head a contradictory piece of advice you've heard somewhere else. Everybody hears this stuff. Most people don't notice that, okay? They just block out all the contradictory stuff. But if you have ADHD, you're like constantly scanning the horizon, looking for things. You're just picking up things all the time. So you're not committing to a path. You're not committing to one mindset, one way of thinking. You know that there are so many possibilities. So you can't follow advice, okay? So what does that mean? Does that mean you have to ignore advice? Does that mean you just say, well, I'm just gonna do my own thing? Well, okay, fine, you could do that, but then you wouldn't benefit from the advice. So what you've gotta do here is you have to say, first of all, let's get rid of advice, because advice, when I think of advice, I think about fortune cookies, something that I would read. Like, I actually have a fortune right on my desk right here. Okay, here's a piece of advice for you. Peace comes from within. Seek it from yourself. Okay. Are you gonna follow that advice or not? Okay. I don't even know how to answer that question. Because what does that mean? What does it mean? Peace comes from within. Seek it from yourself. I can give you some interpretation of that, but you don't know what it means. You don't know what the person who wrote it meant. And the person who wrote that, they don't know me. Like, they didn't write it for me. They just wrote it and put it in a cookie. So you gotta get it specific. What does that mean? Seek it from, what does it say? Seek it from yourself. What does that mean? Does that mean I use the left hand or the right hand? Does that mean that I get a 61 key keyboard or an 88 key keyboard? Like, what does that mean? Like, can we get specific about this? Okay, you have to learn to reject advice. It's not rejecting it. You have to learn to demand specificity. And don't try following advice that doesn't have specifics, okay? Because you can't argue with the specifics. And when you get those specifics, you know, you're gonna learn something from following it. Get a 61 key keyboard, like, get one, try it, play it, and see what happens. You know, it's gonna be good for some things, bad for other things. But if you're gonna sit there and say, well, what should I get? And expect, you're just gonna get something that's in a fortune cookie. That's what you'll get. You know, imagine you open up a fortune cookie and it says, peace comes from a 61 key keyboard. Seek it from Amazon.com. Like, what? You really gonna follow that advice? No, of course not, because you know it comes from a fortune cookie. So stop looking at these memes, stop listening to these broad pronouncements that people make without getting specific. Lastly, the last topic I want to talk about is about practicing regularly. What a normal person can do is they can say, oh, I need to practice the piano. I'm going to do it for 15 minutes per day. And what do? They sit down every day at the same time every day and they practice the piano. And they have their practice time and they write it in their practice log. And they give themselves a nice colored sticker every time they do it. And that's it. Okay, you can't do that. You can't do it regularly. You do it whenever. Because, you know, your schedule is not regular. You do different things at different times, depending on how you feel like. What you feel like is you're impulsive. Okay, you don't have a practice log. Or maybe you have 30 practice logs. Some of them are on the computer. Some of them are in a handwritten notebook. Some of them are on scraps of paper lying on the floor. They could be anywhere. Those are your practice logs. Okay, that's not a system. So you can't rely on that. So don't expect that that's going to happen. If somebody says, well, you need to do this 15 minutes every day, then don't say, okay, I'll do it 15 minutes every day, because that's not going to happen. So don't depend on that. Don't rely on that. Like, don't plan out something that's not going to work, you know? So what is going to work? Well, the thing is that because you have ADHD, you have to, like, there's this contradiction here, because you live in the moment, but you're not thinking in the moment. You kind of like have, you live in the moment, like literally, but you have this fantasy that you're not, okay? You gotta get those to match up a little bit more. If you're gonna live in the moment, if you're gonna be so impulsive, which you are, and you can't help that, and that's just how it has to be, then you have to get your thinking to be in the moment a little bit more. And so when somebody tells you that you need to practice 15 minutes a day, then you need to answer, okay, that's not gonna happen. I'm not gonna do 15 minutes a day because I don't even know what I'm gonna do tomorrow. What I can do is I can do 15 minutes right now, okay? And that's what you can do. See, all you can do is right now. So these are things you could do. You could, instead of trying to do 15 minutes every day, okay, do 15 minutes right now. Another thing you can do, instead of trying to do 15 minutes every day, you can write in your calendar 15 minutes for tomorrow, okay? You could do that at 9 o'clock. Another thing you could do, instead of 15 minutes every day, you could say, you could set a reminder in your phone to remind you tomorrow at 9 o'clock. Another thing you could do is you could do 5 minutes right now. Another thing you could do is, What else? You could call a friend and tell them to remind you tomorrow at 9 o'clock. Okay, do you notice that every action that I'm giving here is something that you do right now? It's, none of it is something that you're gonna do every day. None of it is something that you're gonna do tomorrow. You can't do that. You can't plan ahead. You can't say, I'm gonna practice tomorrow. You can't do that. You can write in your calendar for tomorrow. You can do that right now. You can put a reminder in your phone for tomorrow, right now, okay? Those are things you can do. You have no control over what's gonna happen except for right now. So that's where you gotta be making all your decisions, and that's where you have to be putting all your effort. Okay, hope this was helpful for all you people out there with ADHD. I'd ask you to, you know, rate this podcast or review it or whatever, but that's not gonna happen unless you do it right now. So, and you probably haven't even listened to this whole thing, I don't know. But if you've gone this far, then you're probably kind of itching to do something else anyway. So I will talk to you next time. You can see me on Instagram at no.michael.here. Maybe I'll have to change that name because now I'm talking about piano. I'm not talking as much about meditation stuff, which is what I was doing before. That was a mess. So hopefully the piano stuff will be resonating with all of you ADHD people out there and whatever else. Okay, talk to you next time. Thanks for listening.